At Gloucester Fire Headquarters, I'm with Fire Chief Eric Smith, along with Fire Captain Tom LeGrande. We're going to talk today a little bit about a grant that the fire department recently got. It was publicized in the Gloucester Times, and I don't know what it's all about, Chief. I'll start with you. But it looks like a tremendous thing for the Gloucester Fire Department.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly a great opportunity for us to you know, kind of take the edge off the capital budget and relieve the city of that expense that, you know, frankly, with the snow and ice deficit that is still out there technically for a little bit longer, another year or so. You know, this was one of those projects that we have to get done within the next 2 years, has to be purchased. There's no getting around it. It's equipment that is required and is going to expire. What we have now will not be serviceable in another 2 years. So, you know, with the city looking at that looming in the future and the financial condition for that type of capital expense, where it's, you know, it's a lot of money, but it's not huge money. It's not a brand new building. It's under $500,000, which is a lot of money, but it's one of those things that we only do it every 10 years. So, you know, amortized over time, it's not that outrageous. It's just tough to do it when you have to do it all at once, which is how these systems work. So, you know, Captain LeGrande looked into the grant process and did all the homework, and this was one of those periods when self-contained breathing apparatus, the SCBA, the air packs that we wear in the fires, was on kind of like the short list, if you will, for FEMA, that this was one of those areas that they were, again, cycling into, you know, because it's back to firefighter life safety. So it's always high on their list, but this fell into one of those cycles because you have to be several versions behind in the standards, which so we're, you know, we're two versions behind in the design standards for the equipment. Doesn't mean that our equipment's no good. It just means that it's a bit older, and we're coming up to end of life. So when you ball all that together and the requirements that you have to replace it, it was just a great opportunity. And fortunately, Tom did a great job writing a grant, and FEMA liked it. And so they ponied up their 90 cents on the dollar for us to go out and get new equipment. So it's a deal you can't pass up. When these things come around, you got to jump on them.
All right, Captain LeGrande, let's talk about the genesis of the grant. What's the idea behind it, and how to come about?
Well, as the chief was saying, we were coming up on the end of the service life pretty soon for this equipment. The grants are out once a year. There's a one-time application every year. The last one around, the chief asked me if I'd look into doing a grant, and I did. I had some help from the chief's office. Obviously, the administration had chipped in with some technical information, and we got the grant together. And apparently it was good enough to get an award from FEMA.
And how much are you getting?
We're getting 300 and...
323 federal money, and then the balance of the 355 total is the city's match. So the 10% match is the $32,000 and change from the city. You know, we're requesting, and it looks like city administration is willing to put in $40,000, because our original grant that was written by the captain was... It included additional equipment that we find to be critical life safety equipment, which is tracking of our packs. And when I say tracking, I mean locating them in the event that a firefighter goes down. We have what is considered a PASS device. So once these personal alert safety systems activate, the latest technology that's out there also activates a audible, if you will. It's inaudible to us, but it's a high frequency emitter, and that high frequency emitter puts out a sound that can be detectable and trackable with the right receiving equipment. And this works much better than a radio type device, because radio's line of sight, you know, so if I'm in one corner and you're in the other and there's nothing in between us, that works fine. But if there's walls, partitions, floors, radio doesn't do me any good when it's black conditions and you can't see your way around to navigate. So this new technology, you know, that's using the audible, if you will, it's inaudible to us, but again, it's sound waves. Sound waves are moving through the building, and they're not going through walls so easily. So if there's an opening, a doorway, or windows and those types of things, it's basically providing you what's the most clear path to find that downed firefighter. So, unfortunately, those were cut from what FEMA considered critical equipment. And I can understand their point because it's not specific air pack requirements, and they got a lot of mouths to feed, so to speak. So by cutting out, you know, some $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, they're able to help out another department get what you have to have, which is the masks and the bottles, and not kind of the new technology. To us, I think it's critical. You know, if our people are down, I want the best tools to be able to find them and get them out of there. So fortunately, you know, the city feels the same way. We had anticipating a grant match of nearly $40,000 anyway, so the city is still looking to put in that amount on the city side, and hopefully, depending on how the pricing comes back, we can still get the full package that we anticipated. So we'll see what the numbers come back, and we're hoping for the best. So we'll, you know, again, it's a lot of work went into this, and fortunately I didn't have to do much of it, but you know, I seem to get a lot of the attention for it, but it's really all Captain that did the work. So
all right, let's go back to Captain LaGrande. Chief Smith was talking about the equipment, and Tom, what is the what's the priority for a firefighter now in getting this equipment? In other words, what will you be getting, purchasing, and how does it affect your individual team member?
Okay, what we're going to be getting is state-of-the-art self-contained breathing apparatus. The equipment we have now was purchased in 2004, and that was also purchased with a grant. And at the time, that was the state-of-the-art. But as the chief said earlier, there have been two revisions in the standard, and they deal primarily with firefighter safety, as well as the making the equipment more durable and better. One of the bigger things is the low air alarm. Okay, so the ones we have now, they're set to go off when there's a quarter of a tank left capacity of air. Mm-hmm. That's when it's going to go into alarm and let you know that you've only got a little bit of air left. The standard now is a third of a tank. So that's going to give you a greater margin that if you're in a situation that you can get yourself out of, you'll have that much more air. However, along with that is less working time for the same capacity bottle. So the technology is advanced where they're using higher pressure bottles, air cylinders, so you can keep more air in a smaller mm-hmm. container. And that's what we're looking at. The ones we have now are 4,500 PSI. We're looking at going to 5,500 PSI. And what that'll do is that'll allow us to carry more air in a similar size container on our back, so your profile will be about the same, the weight will be about the same, and take into account the new standard where you're going to be only have a third of a bottle before you go into alarm. That should give us about the same working time.
Okay.
Some other things, and one of the real significant things is the technology for the face pieces. The equipment we have now, and again, that was the state-of-the-art when we got it, the face pieces weren't designed as rigorous as they are now, and they've had some failures through the years and fatalities associated with them, and primarily dealing with the temperatures where the face piece will fail. The ones we have now, a couple hundred degrees and little over that, and the plastics break down. So there's been an advance in the technologies. The new face pieces we get are tested at 500 degrees.
Wow.
So that's a significant difference. If a firefighter was caught in a catastrophic event, that might give him that much more protection to maybe get himself out of something.
Mm-hmm. Cowabunga. Tom, will there be new training in this equipment? Will that be necessary for your guys?
There'll be some training. A lot of it's going to be on the repair. So there's myself and another officer that are tasked with keeping them the maintenance that we can do here. There'll be some training with the whole department, and so far as that there's minimal changes to the equipment. It's basically the same equipment that we're looking at. It's updated a bit, so there'll be some training, but it's not going to be like learning something totally new. This is something you should know, just like tying your shoelaces.
You know, when you get a new guy and you have this outdated equipment, is the new guy necessarily trained on newer equipment? Then he comes here and you got some stuff. I don't want to say it's outdated, but it's older. Does that happen?
Usually the stuff we have here is the same stuff they're going to be training with at the Fire Academy. They're constrained by budget just like everybody else. So a lot of times the stuff at the Academy is state-of-the-art when they get it, obviously, but they might not be able to replace it as well as a more funded department. And it gets pretty well beat up there because they're using it constantly.
You mentioned maintenance. When you get new gear like this, is there a maintenance contract with the manufacturer of this stuff?
Yes, the manufacturer has warranties just like any other product, and So we've had some issues, obviously, when you buy things, if there's a warranty, and they've been pretty good. The manufacturer we have now is Scott. That's the one that's considering going with. We haven't had too many problems. And the newer, along with the new technology, they've made the product a lot more durable. The ones we have now, you have electronics and you have water and you have heat. That's not a good combination for durability. So what they've done now in the more recent generations is they dip all the electronic components and they seal them in an epoxy. They call it military grade now. So there is less serviceable parts for us here as far as any of the electronic stuff, but it also lends to durability where the water won't be able to penetrate in.
My head is whirling here. Chief, I don't know, maybe your comments on the grant and then where it goes from here. The gear will be coming in at some time in the not too distant future.
Yeah, as soon as we get the money in from the feds, which is about a 3-week window, once the acceptance goes in, and so we've submitted that and accepted it under the mayor's authority, and so once the money arrives, then you know the federal government wants us to actually spend it down as quickly as possible, which means that we'll jump on top of the ordering. My understanding right now is that turnaround time on most orders is somewhere in the neighborhood of about a month to get delivery of all your materials, and then probably another week of time for Tom to go through and do all of his identification of the equipment and labeling and inventorying and all that stuff before we put it out on the road, so we have good accountability for what we have and where it is in our records, and then getting it issued out, and in the interim obviously doing in-service training on all the groups. So like you said, the equipment that most all the manufacturers have out there, they don't change significantly from one version to the next, and a lot of their stuff is designed to kind of be cross-redundant. You can use one type of mask with another system, so the similarities in the training is pretty, the similarities are so close that the training is minimal that you have to do, and again, all these guys have been doing this for many years, and the ones that haven't have been through the academy and plenty of time in-house with us training, so it's second nature for them to use these things, and they're all, even different manufacturers are so similar. If you know what you're doing with the equipment, you could pick it up, figure it out on your own without any training in 10 minutes. So they're designed to be used in that harsh environment and where people may, have many other things going on, and that if they had an equipment failure, managing that failure is simple. So the routine operation is that much more simple. So we're pretty confident as soon as we get the money and get the order in that we'll have them on the street in short order, and hopefully we'll like the latest, greatest product that's out there as much as we've enjoyed the last, 8 years of service out of these units. We've had little to no complaints and very few failures, and none of which that have been, to my knowledge at least, in the last 4 years that have been a critical failure while in a fire. It's not something that ever occurs. So it kind of attests to the quality and resiliency of the equipment that they put out there for the U.S. firefighters. It's top notch.
I want to go back to Captain LeGrande. I got two final questions, and then anything that I might have missed. But how significant is it, Tom, that reducing it from the warning from a quarter of a tank to a third of a tank? How important is that in a firefighter's role?
Well, what that does is it gives you a greater margin of error, or safety margin, if you will. So instead of having a quarter of a tank, you have a third of a tank more. So if you were in a situation where you were deep in, now obviously you're supposed to be retrained to pay attention, check on your air, everyone checks their air, and the person with the lowest air dictates that crew's response. So if one member is using more air for whatever reason than another, you work as teams, you work as a group. Everybody goes out with that one member. You don't just send a guy out. And that's another safety margin there, the buddy system, if you will. But what that does is that's why they changed the standard to give a greater margin of safety or a margin of error, if you will, so you have more air in a reserve capacity when your device goes into alarm.
I was going to say, I know that you do the double checking, the buddy system and the redundancy and all that, but it seems to me that you could be in a situation where you're concentrating so hard that you might lose track of that. So if you've got people covering each other, it sort of doesn't happen as a team.
Exactly. And that's why they have these alarms built in. If you're involved in, there could be a rescue, there could be a firefight that was just that bad and you're just that intent in it and you don't get to check, or you might think you have a little more, you're working harder than you normally might be doing, you're going to consume air quicker. So they've given you a greater margin of safety by increasing or decreasing the amount of working time on the same bottle.
Wow. Okay. And finally, Tom, my final question is, how many of these SCBA units will the fire department be getting?
We're going to replace all 45 that we have now. That's typically how the grant works. If we were looking for more, we'd have to justify why more. And that can skew how you're looked at when they look at your grant application. So when we did it, we're replacing what we have. We're replacing it with new state-of-the-art equipment. And some of the other benefits, too, is the newer stuff now, it's a lower profile, so there's less entanglement hazards. The ergonomics is generally better. Unlike everything else, is that they make improvements. So hopefully we reduced injuries, back injuries, that type of thing, as well as just the having new, better equipment. One other thing I did want to add was when we presenting the numbers to budget and finance, we just did a workup as a per capita cost. With getting the grant, so we pay a dime to buy a dollar's worth of equipment, which is great. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost, with the expected life of this equipment, there's a 15-year life expectancy. Per year, it's going to cost about 9 cents per taxpayer in the city of Gloucester for 1 year of using this equipment. Okay. So
you did your homework, man. Awesome. Well, as a taxpayer, that is good news. And I'm going to tell both of you guys that somehow I'm going to have a platform where I'm going to push that full body massages be put on people's health insurances so that people like firefighters and custodians and people like that can have their backs worked on legally and without a lot of expense. That's awesome, Captain Legrandi. Thank you. Chief Smith, any final thoughts?
No, again, my hat's off to the captain. He did a great job. It's a lot of work, a lot of his time, chasing down numbers through all the other departments, with the assessor's office, our office, all of our records. They go back to all the different various calls that you make back to 2012. So it takes a lot of time to pull it all out, put it into the federal forms. Anybody that's filled out a federal form or done taxes, this is a very similar enjoyment. It's about zero. It's not fun. But what you get out of it is well worth it. So it's, again, it's a great asset to the community. Save the community a lot of money by going this way. And this isn't something that he has to do. This is something that he volunteered to do and knows the benefit of it, not only the community and the department, but to the budget overall. There's a lot of priorities in the fire department and within the city. And the farther we can help stretch that dollar, the more of our priorities that we can hopefully meet. So next year, we're passing the torch, hopefully on to the radio officer to go after portable radios. We're hoping that will still be on FEMA's hit list, and we'll see how that goes. If it doesn't, we'll shift gears and figure out what it is they want to spend their money on and help them spend it.
Sounds good. All right, congratulations to Captain Legrandi and Chief Smith. I know I've got a dime on the floor of my car somewhere that I can get and send it over to City Hall. I appreciate it. Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith, Gloucester Fire Captain Tom Legrandi. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.